I hope that's your desire to say glory to his name. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4 tonight. Philippians chapter 4. The passage in front of us, I believe God gives it to us because he knows that as human beings, we tend to have worries and cares. This is a well-known passage. Our Lord knows that we have troubles in this world. He knows that we live as strangers and pilgrims. He knows that there's no way that a genuine believer can possibly feel totally comfortable in this world because this is not our home. And our Lord Jesus knows that we need to be constantly reminded of his help in the face of our worries. And so I want to read Philippians 4, 6 and 7, just two verses packed with a great deal of help for us tonight. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our Father, we come to this text tonight, and we want to thank you for putting it in your revealed word. Because you know that we are sheep. You know that we are weak. You remember our frame, that we are but dust. We are limited in knowledge and strength. And so I pray that you would teach us not to worry, but to pray. For it's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen. So I'm not asking for a show of hands tonight, but I wonder how many people in our congregation have worried even for a little bit over the last 48 hours, or maybe the last week or the last month. I wouldn't be surprised if there are many, maybe a majority, maybe all of us, even though we might call it by different names. I find that people who say they never worry call it, well, I'm just concerned. Or some other name for that. Worry is a common problem, and it's to be expected in some degree, probably among most of us, maybe not all of us. And our Lord knows that this is about us being humans, that we tend to worry, but not just because it's common, but because we understand that as we face different things in our lives, it is so easy to be looking at our own strength instead of his. And so, thankfully, the Lord gives us passages like this. And our Lord Jesus Christ gives an extended passage like this in Matthew 6. We'll share that in a moment. And even though we know that worry can be devastating, we know that it can be in degrees. It takes over some people's lives entirely. Chronic worry. The fact is, we all know that worry never really accomplishes anything good, but even we stop and we don't realize that even if we persist in worry, the damage that it does to us, we sometimes also think that if I just worry about it long enough, I'll find some sorts of solution. So if I keep thinking and thinking, possibly I might find a solution, and this is just the opposite of what this passage commands. So I'll describe worry for you in just a little bit, but you need to understand that God never intended for us to bear all of our problems on our own and our cares. He doesn't expect us to do that. That's why he's given us Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. With all the weight of this world and all of the weight of these things, if we don't learn to cast it on him, those worries and concerns weigh us down so much that we can barely function. God wants us to relieve us of these things, and this passage does that. And so, really, the passage gives us something not to do and then something to do. It's the old remove and replace, okay? R&R, remove and replace. And so I want to show you, first of all, what we're commanded not to do. It's at the beginning of verse 6. You can guess that we are commanded not to worry. Now, notice something, though, just even more fundamental than that. It is assumed that we will have plenty to worry about in this life. When he says, be anxious for nothing, what he's saying is, I know you're going to want to be and tempted to be anxious. If this were not a problem, if this were not common, if this were not something that our Lord knew we would struggle with, he wouldn't have put it in Scripture. So he says, be anxious for nothing. And the word anxious, or maybe your version says, be careful for nothing. The word there means to be troubled with cares, to be distracted with those cares, to be distracted from what's really important because you have certain cares. It means to be hounded and harassed by the problems of your life and your heart and your mind and your emotions. And, you know, really, you can worry about just about anything, really. Will I get that promotion? What if my money runs out? What if my health fails me? What if people don't like me? What if Christians suffer persecution in this country? What will my life be like? I was listening to a podcast of some guys. They're not believers, but they were talking about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine and China and America. And I have to say, it was kind of interesting. These are strong dudes who know here's what you're supposed to do. I just was kind of laughing because they were worrying for like 2 hours. And they've got this solution. Well, let's just move to Paraguay. No, if you move to Paraguay, that's going to happen. Well, I'm going to move over here. And I'm thinking, how can you, as a human being, you are not equipped to predict what's in the future. You are not equipped to bear those kinds of cares and concerns. And that is why believers, we have a Savior who cares about us. We have a Heavenly Father. What if my wife or my husband stops loving me? What if I make a wrong decision? And there can also be senses of this word anxious or careful. That's talking about you're running to and fro, trying to do a bunch of things, and you're getting more bound up with all of the stress. And that's how many people feel. Jobs and kids and busy schedules and peer pressure at school and bills and taxes and debt. It's only human to think if I work just a little bit harder, go the extra mile, I'll get it all done. And there's obviously in Scripture commends hard work. But it does not commend distracting worries. Now, the Philippians had their issues that they could worry about. Remember, they were easy targets in the town of Philippi. That was a Roman colony. They could be easy targets for the Romans to be persecuted, but also the Jews themselves. And so Christians found themselves between the Jews and the Romans oftentimes, or the Gentiles. They could worry about Paul, who's sitting in prison as he writes this letter, possibly heading toward execution. We saw in an earlier chapter, Paul says, I might die. I might be executed. They could worry about their financial situations. That's why in chapter 4, Paul talks about contentment and trusting God that he'll provide their needs. So I invite you right now, if you want to get the most out of the passage, to stop and think about the things that you might tend to worry about, that you might tend to be distracted, whether you call it worry, whether you call it maybe you think you're being responsible. But those things that distract you from what is most important, that get your mind off of what is most important, and those spiritual things and eternal things. And, you know, God does say a lot about worry in Scripture. But I can tell you the biggest thing he says is stop it. Stop it. I understand. I don't know. Maybe you're thinking, stop it. Yeah. How? Right? Sounds good to just say stop it. Now, I want you to notice, though, before we go on and talk about how, let's just make sure that we understand what he's actually saying. You understand in verse 6 that this really is, when it says be anxious for nothing, it really is a command, a genuine bona fide command. In the original form, it's the command form. The idea is stop worrying about things. The idea, even in the original form, is that it's probably that these Philippians were doing, they were worrying, and they need to stop something that they're doing, which was worry. Stop obsessing with the issues of our lives, being consumed. And so stop what we're doing. In fact, it's not just here that we find this. I mentioned that Jesus gives us an extended passage not to worry. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, wherefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now stop and think about what he's saying there. Food, clothing. I mean, that's the bare essentials, right? And yet somehow Jesus Christ is saying, don't be worrying about these things. And then he says a little further on in that chapter, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So he's saying, here's a reason not to worry. It doesn't do you any good. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's another reason not to worry, is today has enough trouble of its own, if you haven't already noticed. So what he's telling us, and in that passage, Matthew 6, he gives 7 or 8 reasons not to worry. And you know one of the biggest reasons, actually the big reason in that passage? You have a heavenly Father who cares for you. He does provide, and I have to tell you, in 2 weeks, I'm planning on preaching back in Genesis, and what a passage on how God provides for Jacob and his family. And you know who God uses to provide for Jacob? Pharaoh, wicked Pharaoh. And if God can provide through a wicked Pharaoh, can God can provide through anything, right? And so what we're saying here is Jesus is saying, you have this heavenly Father, and it kind of poses a problem for chronic worriers. How do you stop? It sounds so simple. Be anxious for nothing. Stop worrying. You Philippian believers, you're worried, stop it. And Terry Burlingame and I always laugh about this. What is it? Is it Bob Hope who has that? Or not Bob Hope, some counselor who, oh, you're shaking your head. Bob Newhart, thank you. You showed it to me a couple times. And this lady comes in for counseling, and Bob Newhart, he's posing as the counselor. Have you ever seen this? It's hilarious. Oh, I'm afraid of being buried alive, I think is what her concern was. I mean, she's just worried. And he says, well, here, you know what? I've got the solution. Stop it. What? Stop it. And that's what the whole video is, him saying, stop it. And that's not what this is. We're going to talk about what you replace worry with. But worry is not a light switch that you just turn off and turn on by your own power. Whenever you feel like it, because as a human being, you do know how weak and limited your resources are. Now, there are ways that we can aid in this battle against worry. We can live in the present. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't get so wound up about thinking too far in the future. Yes, we plan, but if it causes you to get locked up in fear, just be in the present. Think, set your mind on the present for the moment. Set our minds on God, the all-knowing, all-caring, all-providing God and Savior. You know, Corrie ten Boom used to say that worry is an old man with bended head carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead. Right? So much bigger. So those are some ways that we can stop worrying temporarily. But I want to tell you some things that this passage says, that why worry must be stopped, but really how to do it. And that's the second point. It's at the end of verse 6, and that is we are commanded to replace worry with prayer. Replace it with prayer. You know, when we have life-dominating sins, there is only, you can't just say, just stop it. You have to say, replace it. Remove and replace. That's the way it is with all sin habits. That's the way you mortify it. Those are two important steps in that process. But just stopping the habit won't fix it. So what do you replace it with? Well, prayer is the God-given replacement for worry. That's it. Prayer is the God-given replacement for worry. Notice how he says this in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, stop it, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So he's saying, but, that means replace. Replace it, or instead of worrying, and he lists prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, prayer requests as what you do instead of worrying. Now, if you're a chronic worrier this evening, or even just an occasional worrier this evening, you know that part of the problem is that you're faced with situations where you feel helpless and you need to do something. And it could be that Satan kind of lies to us, and our own flesh lies to us, that praying is really nothing. No, praying is everything. Paul says you talk to God, you pray, you supplicate, you make a request and be made known to God. And so he's given these a variety of words for prayer. And there are different forms of prayer. There's worship, there's thanksgiving, there's supplication for other people. There's all kinds of different ways that we can pray. And he's using a lot of these words for prayer. One of those words is just prayer in general. One of those words is prayer specifically. So when you're faced with these problems, instead of worrying, which will do you no good, you take the time to make it a habit of life to talk to the very one who can do whatever is needed to take care of the situation. And so maybe we should start looking at life as maybe a pie with all of the pieces in our life inside of that pie. And maybe shot through the entire pie is this line of prayer going through my family, a line of prayer going through my marriage, a line of prayer going through my job, a line of prayer going through my finances, a line of prayer going through my health, whatever you're in, whatever piece of your life you're worrying about, pray all the way through it. Just keep praying. Either you do that or what do? You sit and you stew and you fret and you worry and it gets worse and worse. You know, the Apostle Paul says elsewhere, Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Hang on to prayer. Continue steadfastly. Keep doing it. The Apostle Peter says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What's he saying? God's eyes and his ears are open when we pray. Now, notice verse 7. He's talking about being worshipful and thankful and praying, and those things destroy worry and they promote joy. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he backs it. Let's back up for a second to verse 6. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known of God. And so the idea is that when we are thankful, when we worship, that promotes joy. And he was just talking about rejoicing in verse 4. So when we're worrying, what are we not doing? We're not rejoicing. We're probably not praying. And so what we can do is replace that worry with prayer, and that leads to rejoicing. Now, let me show you the last thing here. So we've seen that we're commanded to stop worrying. We're commanded to replace worry with prayer. Now, this is the last item. It's in verse 7. God's peace is the reward or the result of replacing worry with prayer. God's peace is the result. His peace, it says in verse 7, transcends our understanding. Now, let me put this in the context of what Paul is doing. Remember, where is Paul when he's writing this? He's in prison. And remember what's happening to him. He's been contemplating earlier in Philippians that he might actually get executed for the cause of Christ. And on top of that, the very people who are supposed to be supporting him in chapter 1, other believers, are turning against him out of envy. And they're preaching the gospel out of envy so that they can get noticed because, you know, they're tired of Paul being the go-to guy for everything. So they're envious, and so they preach the gospel. They're like, well, Paul's in prison. We can now take first place. And that was something that Paul never sought for himself. He just wanted to be faithful to Christ. And yet people were envious. So all of that could really be bothering Peter or Paul. He's been mistreated, beaten often. He's thinking about the possibility of dying cruelly. And look at what he's not doing. This is the guy who's telling us not to worry. You say, Pastor, it's good for you to get up here and talk to us about worry because you got nothing to worry about. Paul had a lot to worry about. And he's the human author here who is saying, hey, stop it. Replace it. So all of that, you want to think of our lives as being stressful. I think that Paul's life, as I read it in the book of Acts, you want to talk about stress. And if he had that much stress that and yet faced it with peace, I think that there are some things that he can teach us. And what he says is whatever you fear, whatever you're concerned about, don't worry. Start praying. Praise God while you're at it. Thank him and his peace will that you can't even comprehend will guard you. See how you can't even comprehend that Paul in prison can have peace. You can't even comprehend that whatever's going in your family, whatever's happening with your children, that you just, I don't like that. You just can't comprehend. You look at your bank account and you say, I can't comprehend not being at peace or having peace through all of this. And Paul says, no, I have something for you. Replace worry with prayer. And God's peace that transcends your understanding will guard your heart. His peace will guard your heart and your mind. This is where it really gets good in my mind, because people who worry find themselves beaten and battered by every new troubling thought that comes along. There's this fear of, oh no, here comes another fearful thought. But if you've committed yourself to just being in prayer, focusing on God's goodness to you, then you'll have this peace. You know, sometimes when people worry, are chronic worriers, they're worried that they're worried, right? Because they're like, I shouldn't be doing this, so they get more worried, right? And then when they're not worried, they start worrying, right? Because they're not worried, they're not being responsible. It's a weird thing. But what it says here is, in the onslaught of these new worrisome thoughts and attitudes and frames of mind, that when we pray about it, when we're worshipful about it, when we're specific in requests, when we're general in prayer, when we shoot through every piece of our life with prayer, the peace of God guards our hearts and our minds. And the word that Paul uses for guard there speaks of a military guard. And this is something that the people of Philippi could really identify with, because what Paul is saying about guarding and these soldiers guarding, that was what happened there in Philippi. In Philippi, that was a Roman garrison of soldiers there. They knew what it was like. They saw Roman soldiers all the time. And God is saying, you see those soldiers that guard this jail or that building or that person? That's what God's peace will do for you when you pray. Replace it with prayer. I find it interesting that Jesus Christ, as he's heading to the cross the night before, says this to his disciples. Remember, they're about to lose him. They're about to see him die on a cross. They're about to see him buried. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what do all those passages, and there are countless others, tell us? God doesn't want us to bear those things that we were never meant to bear. Our shoulders are not big enough. Our minds are not smart enough. We don't have that strength, and yet God does. And he wants to bear those things for us. And so prayer is the replacement for worry. It really is simple, although sometimes in our sinful, fleshly ways, it's not always easy. But when we do it, when we worship, when we thank the Lord, when we praise him, when we pray, and when we shoot through our entire life, shoot it through with prayer, that's when we get that peace. I close with the words to Sweet Hour of Prayer. Isn't it interesting that this old hymn picks up this very theme? Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer. Our Father, we come to you doing the very thing you tell us to do in this passage, prayer, in prayer. First of all, Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer that you have promised to hear us. Father, we pray that you would remind us when we're overcome by those fears and sorrows and cares and concerns that are unique to us and yet really not unique to us. I pray that you would teach us to pray. Father, I just pray that you would help us in our marriages, in our homes, in our families, in every part to lift up these requests to you, and that we would each one, even tonight, even before the end of the day tomorrow, that we would experience what it is to have your peace guarding our hearts and our souls. And I pray, Father, especially for anyone here tonight who has a special burden, who has a special care, I ask that this passage would be driven by the Spirit so deeply home into every heart that they would see peace is found in prayer. We're asking this in Christ's name. Amen.